Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, a fresh new way to look at events with our well-being in mind.
Welcome back to Reflections, your host Jorge Gonzalez on the second segment. I'd like to sort of go over the situation that was covered from the very beginning, and now I'm going on over 4 years, so it's quite a bit back on Ukraine, who I admired from the very beginning. Fire on Ice was a documentary I watched, and I convinced me that Ukraine had such patriotic and democratic fever, which was going to be very tough for Russia to overcome them. And it's been a very difficult haul. From the very beginning, I pointed out what Finland had to do, that eventually it had to give part of its territory to Russia to take care of, get a truce and get a peace plan together. From the very beginning, Ukraine was going to have to give up Crimea for sure. That was back in 2014. There was other piece of property that back in 2014 Russia had taken, and then there was an area in the Donbass section that was basically dominated by Russian and relatively pro-Russian residents, even though they were Ukrainian, and that was pretty clear was going to end up in Russian hands. And then they kept on advancing. And as we know at this point in time, most of the Donbass area has been taken over by Russia. There's a section of it, and it's been tough times for Ukraine, especially under the Trump administration that has been, I'm not quite sure why, but has been erratic, I think is the word, in terms of its support. At one time that Zelensky is the best there is, and at one time he's the worst, and it's been really chaos in terms of the U.S. Decisions on supporting or not supporting Ukraine and some supporting and not supporting Russia. It's a technique, I think, that Trump has. Some people would call it chaos. You can include me in that group. Others understand that this is no negotiation technique of keeping everyone completely unstable, in suspense, and jumping from one to the other with statements completely contradictory to what it could have been said, 2 weeks before. But that's what's happening, and we'll see it. At this point, it looks like how much territory Ukraine will have to give up. Russia wants the whole Donbass area, and it's clear that Zelensky is willing to concede part of it, but not all of it, especially the part that they still control. I mean, Russia wants to have even the part that it hasn't controlled militarily. So it's a tough haul. It's always been clear that Ukraine, in order to agree or to the ceasefire and to a peace plan, needs security, either to go into NATO, which now it's pretty clear that's not going to happen as one of the kind of red lines that Russia has. So the alternative is for U.S. and the European allies to provide the kind of security that Ukraine has. Kind of tough because we know what has happened with trade agreements and security agreements. In fact, Ukraine gave up all of its nuclear arsenal to Russia, based on back in the early 90s, I believe it was, based on Russia agreeing to secure Ukraine from any invasion. Of course, it ended up being Russia that has invaded them. But so it's a tough. The other thing that apparently is going to have to happen, and Zelensky's joining two things, is elections. The U.S. has insisted and that elections take place. It's been delayed because of the war. To have elections under the situation of the war makes sense. But it looks like there will be elections. Under what conditions is being negotiated. And the other thing that Zelensky wanted, and I had mentioned the possibility of kind of a plebiscite, a referendum, to decide, you know, where in this Donbass area would belong to Russia and what would remain with Ukraine, what Zelensky's providing at this particular moment is a referendum where the Ukrainian people would ratify, confirm, agree to the final peace plan. Of course, deciding who's going to be the electors. So many have moved out. So many are under the Russian influence. Could be a little bit of difficulty, but a lot of things have to be ironed out in the speech plan. But they're all talking about 90% has been achieved. Of course, usually, you know, it's the last really difficult ones that have to be hammered out. And then you have, you know, as we say, the devil is in the details. So go back and have all the details. But a lot of discussions have been had, and a lot of movement has taken place. And God willing, there will be a peace plan that works in that particular area that has been so difficult for Ukraine. I've suffered so much for them. So let's pray and hope that new year something good comes for them. In Gaza, the kind of ceasefire that Hamas really had no real choice. I mean, it's been destruction of their military power, of so much of the world that they live in the Gaza Strip, and then destruction of their allies, so that not much choice with respect to Hamas agreeing to it. And although there are still, every once in a while, they stick up and stand up, and Israel is there to knock them down. It's one of those endings by pure capitulation. Whichever side you're on, those are the realities that has ended up in that particular conflagration. There's so many things occurring with the administration, you know, changing the Department of Defense to the Department of War, much more aggressive, much more proactive. And that's taking, you know, what's done in Iran, and now again, Trump is saying if you're establishing your nuclear capabilities, we're gonna bomb you again. Nigeria, U.S. has on behalf of the Christians. And with the backing of the Nigerian government, has gone in and bombed a few areas. Not clear the effect of that or how effective it's in, but there it is. And we all know the Venezuela and what has been taking place with respect to Venezuela. And the last thing that's happened as of today, the 30th that I'm recording, was the bombing of the port area where these boats with drugs were sent out. So you know, it is what I had mentioned to conversation with Tito Colorado, my friend, and San Juan Rotarian, that I saw a concern with respect to the way the U.S. is proceeding. Basically, it's kind of like the Monroe Doctrine that this is Latin America is our sphere, is our backyard, is we have to control it, and being very, very proactive and aggressive with respect to that. And I was telling Tito that that could lead China to sort of say, okay, if that's your new doctrine, well, you know, we are going to deal the same thing with our backyard. And I was concerned with Taiwan, or I am concerned with Taiwan. Incidentally, the next year Rotary International Convention is going to be in Taiwan. I was there back in 82 with United Way International, a fantastic experience, a great people, great island. And they're really strong in the Rotary movement, over 300,000 members of Rotary just from Taiwan. And lo and behold, that evening after my conversation with Tito last night, announcement that China was doing testing, had all kinds of warships around, and testing the waters, pardon the pun, around Taiwan. Trump's remarks or comments that this is what's always happening, and this isn't any more than what's happened before. I hope he's right. I hope he's right. But Russia and this fear of influence and its sort of say success in the Ukraine war, and really kind of convincing the U.S. to hold off and let them get with, I think, away with what they really wanted. The Donbass area is very rich in minerals and all. So there it is, that fear of inter area. Then, we have Israel, that sphere of area. U.S., so now China, well, its fear of area. So cross my fingers. I hope I'm wrong. But I fear that China may be getting a little bit more aggressive and may take a little more risk than it would have without these this new doctrines, right, of sphere of interest. Let's see what happens. Let's get to the Happy New Year and reflections on what's been happening and more important what really works as we end our year. Let me start off with a few quotes that I always like from my Nuevo Día. And some of it's kind of a little bit, funny. One of them I don't like, which I'll end up with that one. And they have to do with Christmas, with all. And by coincidence, the one I liked the most, it ended up that it was repeated. I clip these out and I pile them up, for the next program. And so the one of the 20th of December and of the 26th of December are exactly the same one. It's by Mill McKibben, a North American writer. I didn't look him up. I'm not aware of who really he is. But the para comenzar tu día, the quotation in Spanish is: No existe la Navidad ideal, solo la Navidad que usted decida crear como reflejo de sus valores, deseos, queridos y tradiciones. There does not exist the ideal Christmas. Only the Christmas that you decide to create as a reflection of your values, of your desires, of your wants and of your traditions. And you know, I like this quote because the importance that of the mental outlook on life is what creates reality. And in terms of creating reality, what I like about this quote, that you base it on your reflection on your values. Because I think, you know, the dreams and the wants and the traditions are really can be put into the values. And this statement on Christmas is very close to my definition of happiness and well-being, which we'll go into. The other quote that that came out is that I liked is, let's see, la Navidad no es lo que se tiene, sino a quien se tiene. Christmas is not what you have, but who you have. That's by Megan Maxwell. This is the critical thing that it's not material things that make us happy and make Christmas and make our well-being, but it's who we have, interpersonal relationships, family relationships, people we can count on. We've talked about over and over again how critical that is, and this particular quote is right in line with that. Then the one I do not agree with, let me see, is I lost it. Okay, this one says by Fennel Hudson, a British writer. Diciembre, al ser el último mes del año, no puede ayudarnos sino a pensar en lo que viene. December being the last month of the year is not what helps us, but what we think in terms of what is to come. So it's kind of like stepping past December. It's completely opposite to your being in the present, and mindfulness, enjoying each day, enjoying each moment. It's like December is really there for you to look forward to. And that's a really critical thing as we look this new year on, looking forward as to whether, we have to look back, we have to be present. Yes, we have these resolutions, which we'll be talking about, but let's not lose importance of each coming day. I've run out of time for this second segment, so we'll be right back after the pause. This is Jorge Gonzalez, Reflections.